Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples, our guest this hour. Next hour, Jim Blackburn. In both hours, open forum. You're welcome to call with any question you've got. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. And maybe you're off this week. Maybe you got the whole week off, and this is the first time you've ever listened to Catholic Answers Live. So let me tell you how it works. We answer questions about the Catholic faith, and by we, I mean the people that sit next to me. And you can ask any question you want, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. And if you're like, oh, I've always wanted to ask a Catholic, you know, why they worship Mary or whatever the question is, 888-318-7884 is the number. So if you're Catholic, you can call, and if you're not Catholic, you can call. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples, one of the great Catholic apologists in the world today. As a matter of fact, I know that because he's been in the last few months everywhere in the world. He's been to every single place in the world. Tim, right. Great to have you back.
And man, am I tired.
Yeah, I know.
But it's good to be with you, brother. And can you believe it? It is almost Thanksgiving.
It came up on me kind of fast this year. Snuck up on me.
And now, you know, it's I hate to say it, the Christmas rush, especially when you have seven kids like I do.
Yeah.
right. You got to really think about gifts early, man, you know? And now comes the crazy time. But you know what? I just love it. I got to tell y'all that are watching and listening right now, we're getting a head start on our Christmas lights this year.
So the Staples house will be.
Yeah, well, we're not turning on the lights until after Thanksgiving, but it's so much work that we're doing it over several days.
But they've gotten bigger. They can help you out more.
they can. They're doing it right now.
Are they really?
I hope.
Good for them.
Hopefully they're paused now to listen to Dad on the radio, so you better be listening. All right.
For those of you who don't know, the Staples house Christmas is it's one of the things – it's a geographic feature that they use to navigate spaceships by.
That's
they
right.
just see those lights. And
the
okay,
Griswolds ain't got nothing on us.
No. And you've never blown your power out, right?
Just fuses. Just fuses.
Blowing those Christmas fuses. And will you have the Holy Family out front?
Oh, absolutely. We've got the Holy Family out front on the lawn and up on the roof.
Nice.
So we've got two
nativities.
Can't
put a little baby on the roof?
Yeah, you can.
888-318-7884, the number. Already lots of folks on the line.
All right.
I'm going to go to those calls. I'm going. I really am. Nate in Dallas, Texas, watching on YouTube. Nate, thanks for the call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah, you
Thank
too.
You.
Thank you.
I was listening back at the previous radio drive back in August, August 4th, actually. Tim was setting up the show, and he said something, and I've asked about it before a couple times. I just wanted to, you know, ask the last time about double effect and abortion.
Oh, yes.
Because what Tim said was that Catholics have a total prohibition, but Protestants and Baptists are pro-death. I have it queued up. It's at the 3-minute, 44-second mark, mm-hmm. if you want...
No, you can just ask us the question.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I wanted to know, from Tim, under Catholicism, if there's a complication in the pregnancy that threatens the life of the mother, like uterine cancer, she can opt to have her uterus removed while mm-hmm. pregnant. Under Protestantism and life of the mother legislation, she can do the same thing. She can opt to have her uterus removed. So I don't understand where the daylight is between these two positions.
There is none.
How can you say the Catholics are total prohibition, but Prots are pro-death when it comes to life of the mother, if this is effectively the same exact scenario?
Situation? Well, Nate, if that is the only scenario, then there is no difference, because you've just defined quite well the principle of double effect. But my understanding is that in the case of the Southern Baptists and a whole host of, in fact, every Protestant denomination that I have examined, every single one, that it's not necessary that you have the case of double effect. It is simply the case that if the life of the mother is in danger, you can kill the child. Now, am I incorrect in that?
So could you give me like a more specific scenario? Because I went to the Catholic Answers website and I saw the a double effect scenario that they gave was uterine cancer.
Yeah. Okay.
So
this
is an example where there is daylight.
Yeah. That if you had a case where, let's say, the woman was having difficulty in delivering the child, and the doctors determine that her life is in danger, the child can be directly killed. In every Protestant denomination that I examined, whereas in Catholic theology, you cannot. You can, in some cases, as you mentioned, you can remove a cancerous uterus or a defective fallopian tube, but that's not the same as directly killing the child. So that's the difference, is the Catholic Church says, no, you can never directly kill the child. There's not a Protestant denomination that I know of that teaches that.
All right. Nate, thanks. Thanks very, very much. Boy, every single...
But again, you know, okay. Just for Nate, if I'm wrong, I would love to see what denomination you're referring to, because the only denomination that I'm aware of that even limits abortion to cases where the life of the mother is in danger is the Southern Baptist denomination. Most that I examined, now granted, I only examined about, I don't know, 40, 50, 60, somewhere in there, denominations. And I you can't look at all the denominations. You could spend the rest of your life, because there's literally tens of thousands of denominations out there. But that's the, you know, that's a very, very large difference. That is directly killing the child in order to save the mother versus removing a cancerous uterus or a defective fallopian tube, because there you're not direct. That's what double effect is. You're actually attending to the malady, the defective fallopian tube or the cancerous uterus. You're not directly killing the child. That is murder and can never be allowed in any circumstance. Okay, just to be clear.
Got it. Thank you, Nate. Thanks very, very much. I have heard you say that quite a few times, Tim. And can I just have a follow-up question? Because so would the Catholic Church advocate that all of that be enshrined in law, that be the law? Or do we just have to say that's the practice? Do you see what I'm saying?
That's a great question. And ultimately, of course, the goal is to have that enshrined in law. But we're in a situation now where we have to use the incremental approach that Pope St. John Paul so wonderfully laid out in Evangelium Vitae, especially section 71 to 73. And there in 73, he gets at it in particular, the incremental approach. So as a Catholic lawgiver can say, you know what, I personally, absolutely, I'm against abortion in any situation whatsoever. However, you know, we are willing to compromise, and I can say as a Catholic, I want to limit the harm done in whatever way I can.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, if we in our country are saying viability, okay, I can say, hey, that's good that when a baby's viable, you can't kill it anymore, but we need to do better than that.
Right.
And let's take it back further. So we want to state our position. Yes, this is the ultimate goal. But then the incremental approach, and I wish more legislators would say that and say it loudly during election cycles, that, you know, it's okay to compromise as long as you let your principles be known. And that compromise is never to directly will or legislate for murder. But see, you can legislate for a lessening of the harm that's caused by abortion by saying, okay, let's, and again, for argument's sake, I'm saying if presently it's viability, we want to say, no, that's not good enough, not just viability. Praise God for that. It's better than abortion all through 9 months, but we need to do better than that. Maybe we can go back to, as has been, you know, the argument of late, when the baby feels pain.
Yeah.
When there's a heartbeat.
Right.
You know, and that sort of thing would lessen the harm that's being done while never compromising the ultimate goal
right.
of saying never can you directly kill an innocent baby. Does that get
yeah,
at
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. That gets yeah. exactly at it. Tim Staples is our guest. It's open forum. Your call's welcome. I think just one line open right now, 888-318-7884. We got to take that first break. We'll be right back with more calls.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just a couple of notes for you. One, we're going to have new shows all this week, so don't we're not abandoning our post for Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving. I call them Thanksgiving and Upset Stomach. Those are the names of those 2 days for me. And we'll be doing one for each of those, a brand new show for each of those. And I know that they're really, really good shows. And I can't remember what the other thing was. So I'm going to let Tim take a call and then I'll think of it. Julio in Fresno, California, watching on YouTube. You're next, Julio. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi. I know that Proverbs 13:24, I believe, says, "He who spares the rod hates his son."
Oh, yes.
I was just curious if this is kind of in support of spanking children or mm-hmm. punishing them with, you know, some sort of, yeah, that kind of punishment.
Yes, corporal punishment.
I just want to know a little bit more. Yes. And also, I would appreciate if you could give me any resources on punishing or raising children.
Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, a lot of folks are shocked to find that the Catholic Church and the Catechism of the Catholic Church quotes a very similar verse: "Spare the rod if you spare the rod." Is it "spare the rod, spoil the child," or a similar text like that? And I personally like the Douay Rheims, "He that beateth his child shall save his soul from hell." There's something poetic about that, Cy Kellett. As beateth? A father of seven, beateth with the F on the end, you know. And of course, it doesn't mean abusing children and such. But yeah, the Catechism references those texts of Scripture in the context of disciplining our children. Now, there is a healthy debate in the Church as to whether or not those verses should be taken in a more literal sense the way I do, and I believe the Catechism lends itself to that understanding, or whether in our modern era, and I know some very good Catholics, some apologist friends of mine that I know, who don't believe in corporal punishment, but discipline, you know, time out and other ways of disciplining. For me, it's not a matter of either and, it's or either or, it's both and. But it's I think, a healthy discussion in the Church. You know, I will often say in my presentations, you know, I love my children. I love them before I spank them, while I'm spanking them, and after I spank them. You know, and I believe that discipline is absolutely crucial in the development of children. And each child has to be ministered to in a different way. You know, my daughter Rose, who's probably listening right now, I think I had to spank her about two or three times in her life. And after that, it was just the fear of dad that sufficed. You know? And also, she's a tremendous girl. Luke, oh my goodness. Let's see. He's 16 now, so I can't do that anymore. You know, I gave it up about 2 weeks ago. I can't spank him. I'm joking, people. I'm joking. But, you know, each child is different. Some children need more discipline than others. But as a matter of whether you're going to go this route or that, I think it's just a matter of, you know, doing the research yourself. I personally did, and I believe that the track record of corporal punishment is just too old and too good to dismiss. But that's just Tim Staples talking. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now that would be a good book in favor of corporal punishment. Can you, Cy?
He did ask about parenting in general. That always makes me think of Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Dr. Ray, yes.
You're a better parent than you think you are, or one of those. I think that's the title. I would trust what Dr. Ray has to say. And Dr. Ray, a lot of his message is trust yourself. You're smarter than a lot of people who are experts. That work for you, Julio?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of you're a better parent than you think you are? It is an excellent book by Dr. Ray Guarendi.
All right. Yeah, I'll check it out. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Thanks, Julio. We got time. All right. We got a call from the Virgin Islands.
All right.
Remy in the Virgin Islands, listening on the Alexa. Remy, go ahead with your question for Tim.
And God bless you.
You too.
I'm a recent revert. It's about a year now, but prior to that, I was a evangelical missionary for a couple of years when I came to Christ, and I'd been praying the rosary. And for myself, I use it pretty much to quiet my mind and prepare my heart
right, to
speak with God. Now, I've been on social media with some friends, and we've been doing it, trying to do it daily online.
Right.
But it's when we do it, we finish, and then everyone's like, all right, pack up, got to go. And I'm like, I feel like, can you guys recommend or am I wrong to think that that we could do more with it? Because it just feels like,
sure,
you know, the biggest complaint or issue with evangelicals is that all we do is repetitive prayer, and it's like, you know, we do the rosary. Then I'm like, okay, what do we do next? And they're like, oh, got to go, we're done. And when I ask them, they're like, no, we're done, dude. And I'm like, that's kind of weird.
right. Yeah, as a convert, I can tell you, I can remember the first time I went to a rosary. You're bringing back memories for me, because I went to a little prayer group when I first became Catholic, and it was a bit odd for me. But I believe that a rosary prayer group that just says the rosary is powerful. It's a tremendously powerful prayer. It speaks for itself over, you know, 800 years of intense usage, the miracles attached, and so forth. But I tend to agree with you. If I'm leading a rosary group, I do not just say the rosary and then it's over. But I will always have a reflection afterward, either thinking about the mysteries we just meditated on, maybe connecting it there, or opening up a discussion about them. That's a great way, I think, to end the rosary. But if it's a prayer group that's what they do is pray the rosary, well, then praise God for that. You know, that is a powerful prayer. And so, you know, you can, in your own spiritual life, continue the meditation in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or continue the meditation in your own life, if the prayer, you know, the prayer meeting has you know, dismissed and everybody has gone. But I got to tell you, personally speaking, I agree with you. I think the rosary to me always gets my mind going, and after the rosary, I really do want to talk about it. Talk about the mysteries. They are so rich. And I've been praying the rosary now virtually every day. Now, I can't say I've been perfect. I miss some days here and there. But I have prayed virtually every day for my entire Catholic life over the last 36 years. How can it be 36 years? And I have to tell you, I still, when I pray the rosary, things will come to my mind that I have to go, man, I got to write that down. because you make connections between mysteries and God speaks to you. Our Blessed Mother will speak to you during the rosary as well. So again, I tend to be in agreement with you that that is a great time for discussion after the rosary. But it depends upon the group.
Remy, how's that?
I'm praying with a lot of cradle Catholics, and I was born Catholic, but we didn't really practice. And I'm like, hey, so are we going to, what are we going to pray about now? And they're like, no, dude, we're done. Like,
yes.
I just was like, okay, like, is there something more? But no, I appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah. Especially with prayers of petition, Catholics might be used to doing it before the rosary, in a lot of places that's, a lot of the petitionary prayer will come before the rosary. It's like you're saying, here's the things we're going to pray for while we're praying the rosary. Right. So that might just be a habit thing.
I agree. When we do my wife and I lead our family in a nightly rosary every evening. And we will do sometimes extended petitions, where the kids, especially around the holidays, will start letting them just what are your petitions, and those are very special times with the kids, and that you can do that with the adults as well. But you know what might be happening here is maybe Our Lady and Our Lord maybe moving you to maybe start a rosary group that will have a reflection after the rosary. You ever thought of that?
Sorry, Remy, I put you on hold.
Oh, did
have
we?
Have you thought?
Yeah,
of?
I actually.
You go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have, and I'm trying to run. I'm being kind of jovish in it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the Lord is speaking. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but maybe the Lord's dropping something into your heart there. We'll see. Stay in touch. I'd love to hear about it if it happens.
Remy already has all the suffering that comes with living in the Virgin Islands, though. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible burden to carry.
Oh, my goodness.
Living in the Virgin Islands, so... God bless you and the cross you bear there, Remy. Let's go to Jerry in Rochester, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. There's snow in New York, I heard.
Yeah, I'm in Rochester. We didn't get it. Actually, Buffalo got imagine, believe it or not, they got 7 feet in certain areas where the Buffalo Bills play football.
Oh, my goodness.
7 feet of snow there.
That's what I heard about.
That's that lake effect, huh? Wow.
Yeah, sure is.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why we get a lot of snow around here, is because we're surrounded by lakes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what's on your mind?
I was calling, pardon me?
Yeah, what's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, I was just calling about the references to the different figures in the Blessed Trinity. And what I'm saying is that, the first person of the Blessed Trinity is obviously referred to as Father, and Jesus came as a male. So I was wondering if it was... actually appropriate to refer to the Holy Spirit in the feminine gender?
Right. Great question. And the answer is no. Here's a key distinction. If you go and I give you homework, check out the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sections 239 and 240. And there's a great distinction made there between understanding that God is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he is Father, he is like a mother. So, and you'll get some nice references. Check out the footnotes there. Again, that's sections 239 and 240, where God will be referred to as being like a mother. As a mother holds her child, so God holds us, and that sort of thing. But God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as such, he is always he. Now, that doesn't mean he's male. And in fact, that section of the Catechism makes that clear. He is neither male nor female. Obviously, he does not have, sexual genitalia, right? But he is revealed as Father. Okay. And so it's inappropriate to refer to God as she. Because he is like, now we understand that all the perfections that we, refer to as feminine, be they, wisdom or nurturing, even love itself, right? The caring, the intimacy and so forth, all of those that we may refer to as feminine, of course, are infinitely perfected in God, right? But once again, He is Father. And so when you refer to for God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, He is always a He, and it is always inappropriate, wrong, to refer to Him as she or her. Okay, but again, make that distinction between He is a Father, He's like a mother, and check it out there in the Catechism sections 239 and 240.
Thanks, Jerry. You can hear the music. Got to take a break. Right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the smells fill the house for Thanksgiving, let's make each other hungry tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Lots of great calls today. One line open right now if you want to get in on the conversation. You're welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I'll stress again, anybody's welcome. You don't have to be a believer. If you got a question about the Catholic faith, any aspect, you want to know about God, you want to know about morals, you want to know about what the church teaches, you are welcome here. We're going to Peoria, Illinois now. See how this show plays in Peoria. David in Peoria, listening on Catholic.com. Thanks very much for the call, David. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi.
Yes.
I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, and they've been struggling with sin in some ways, and a lot of hard situations have hit them recently, and they feel that God is punishing them because they failed to live up to that, and they keep pointing to verses such as "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," and things like that.
Right.
And I've been trying to have discussions about how there are negative effects from sin, but it's not a "I'm going to get you back" sort of a thing. And he feels kind of like God's out to get him. And I was wondering how you would balance.
Yeah.
How you would express that for balancing God's justice and His love for us with those verses such as that.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job right there. I think you've got it. when you understand that in the Old Testament, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, does not mean God is vengeful. God is, as you say, perfectly just and infinitely merciful. So everything God does, he does well, right? The best. So he's not vengeful, I'm going to get you back. He is just. And of course, as James chapter 2 famously says, mercy triumphs over justice. God is merciful. And what is mercy but withholding just punishment as an act of love? So your friend or anybody who's struggling with this needs to understand that this is anthropomorphic language being used in the context of God intervening in a tribal culture in ancient Israel and the surrounding countries, where, remember, a spat between tribes can end up in genocide in the ancient world. I mean, you can, it was an incredibly brutal world. Not that ours isn't brutal today, and it is, and in some ways we're even worse today, but it was a very, very, that where cultures have rejected God, I should say. But David, it was a brutal culture, and that's the context in which God is saying, no, you don't seek vengeance. You have to be a just people, a loving people, a merciful people. That's what God is saying there, David. And so ultimate judgment belongs to God. You can bring that over into a New Testament context where St. Paul, for example, will famously say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses, 3 through 6, It is a very small matter for me to be judged by you or any man's judgment, he says. I don't even judge my own self, says St. Paul. I have nothing on my conscience, but I am not thereby acquitted or justified. The one who will judge me is the Lord. Therefore, judge not until such time when the Lord comes, and then shall the hidden motives of the heart be manifest, and then shall each man have his reward from God. So notice, St. Paul is doing the same thing here that God was doing in the Old Testament and saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He's warning the Corinthians the same way the inspired author of the Psalms, King David, if you will, is warning the people. You know, it's not your role to judge people, that is, their inner motives, because you don't know their inner motives. God alone knows those inner motives. So when we're going to judge, we have to judge very carefully, and we have to keep it to judging actions and not the motives or the soul of the person. And that has been very much clarified in the New Testament to a degree way beyond where it was in the Old Testament, because, of course, they didn't have Jesus. And so for us, it's very clear, right? Yes, we have to judge. Jesus says in John 7:24, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. So we need to judge. Of course, we have to judge actions. When people's actions are faulty, we see our brother in sin, says James chapter 5, verse 20. And if we warn them of their sin, we have saved a soul from death, says St. James. So there is a time for judgment, but really the judgment has to be, you know, the old adage we all learned as kids. I mean, my mom taught us that as in Baptist, when we were going to Baptist Sunday school. Love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, we can say that kind of cliche, but that's a profound truth, Psycho.
Right, yeah.
Right, David? I mean, that is a profound truth, that if we really took that to heart, it would change our entire culture, our whole cancel culture and the craziness now in this culture. If we truly did love the sinner and hate the sin, that is transformative. But ultimately, David, that's what God's getting at in both vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and in St. Paul saying, don't judge motives, judge actions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
And all right.
Yeah, it's so important to love the sinner, for, you know, sin means to miss the mark, and obviously we all miss the mark.
I'm good
so
at
what
it.
What a beautiful thing.
And Cy Kellett's good at it. I know that.
Being, Exactly. So what a beautiful thing repentance becomes then when it's someone shows you the true way so you can pursue what you were truly seeking. And
amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen,
so,
brother.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. And, you know, forgive me for picking on Cy Kellett, but it's so easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually have to confess, I am quite an expert at sin. I have not overcome it.
No, amen.
So I don't mind that one.
Not till a week after you're dead, right?
That's what they say. Yeah, a week after you're dead. Yeah.
But you know what, brother? You think about that. You know, a lot of times we as Christians can read over these verses and kind of miss the profundity of it, yeah. Right? Love your enemies. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:43-44. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Love your enemies. That is so powerfully transformative if we would do it. But of course, that's the hard part, isn't it?
It is.
Do it.
David, thank you very much for the question, and God bless you in your conversation with your friend. We'll pray for your friend because it's hard to trust in the mercy of God. It takes a lot to get us to trust in the mercy of God. I don't know why that is, but it takes work to get there, and most of the work done by angels, not by us.
Amen.
Eduardo in Florida watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us, Eduardo. Go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, how are you? This is my question. I basically got insurance, like dental insurance in my job with a company whose name I'm not going to mention. And I haven't even used the benefits, but I learned that that company does other kinds of medical coverage, and they cover abortion, and they are kind of also, not kind, like they are advocates for abortion.
Right.
So I was wondering if I am kind of morally culpable for having done business with them, or if I can use the service to which I already subscribe.
Right.
I understand that I cannot unsubscribe until the year is done, so they are already taking my money anyways, but I don't know if I could use the benefits. And even after that, like, I was wondering, I don't think there is any insurance that does not cover for abortions as well. So I pretty much I want to know if I could make use of the benefits that pretty much I'm already enrolled in through my job insurance.
Okay.
Yes, that's a great question. And generally speaking, the answer is yes, you can. The church has not addressed every single situation and every particular company, but in general, the church has piped in on this question and has said that we're talking about a material cooperation in evil that is remote enough, because when you're paying into a massive pool, right, to secure health coverage for your family, and a relative pittance of that is being taken out relative to the entire pot, that is no doubt material cooperation in evil, and that's not something to be taken lightly, but it is remote enough to where a Catholic can, generally speaking, you know, because we always have to leave the door open for particular companies that could be so heinous that perhaps we would have to reinvestigate that particular company. But generally speaking, I know of no situation where a Catholic would be in mortal sin by using their health coverage in the United States. Now, having said that, we should object to our dollars, even if it's pennies of ours, going to something as heinous as murder. Right. Absolutely. And it is a good thing to look into the prospect of finding a health coverage that does not. And in fact, at Catholic Answers, we're going through that right now.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the name? Because it just jumped out of my brain. Right. I was looking at our new health coverage plans just before we came on the air, and I can't remember who it is.
Well, Rita is the...
Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's R-E-T-A,
yeah,
right?
but those are for... But they do... They're a nonprofit that works with Catholic institutions.
Right.
So I don't know if Eduardo's company is a Catholic institution.
That's right. Well, Eduardo, that you brought this up, and immediately I started thinking, oh my goodness, we're going through this right now at Catholic Answers. We have a company called Reta, R-E-T-A, as Cy mentioned. And by the way, I had never heard of them until today.
Yeah.
I just looked into it. We had a meeting here earlier.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday, and I couldn't make it. So I'm looking at the stuff today, and I did not even know. This is an awesome company that is now covering dioceses all over the place, scores of dioceses and whatnot. And they do not participate in any way, any dollars in you know, abortion and so forth. So, you know, I say that to you to say this. It is worth doing diligence and taking a look, because I have to say, I didn't know. I mean, perhaps I should have, Cy Kelly.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but they were only insuring dioceses before. So right. It's a new thing.
Oh, it is. Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
I don't
either.
Know how new.
Because I wasn't at the meeting yesterday.
I was barely there.
But. Yeah, but at any rate, I'm sorry for getting off onto our situation here. But it is something that's worth looking into. But let your heart not be troubled. You know, you can use your insurance as is while, if you can, look into whether or not there are companies that don't support these heinous sorts of immoralities. Does that make sense, brother?
Yes, but I wanted to say, like, this company, I know that besides covering abortions, they support, like many other companies, after Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Yes.
So in that case, will I still be able to use those benefits?
Yes.
Being in a state of grace?
Yes, I believe so. Now, again, I agree with you that there is a new situation at hand. Since Roe has been overturned, we have new situations now where you have companies that are formally involved in abortion now in paying for employees, for example, to go to another state to have abortion. That ups the ante. There is no doubt about that, because now you're talking about formal cooperation. However, that still is not formal cooperation for you. You are not formally cooperating in these abortions. That is between the insurance company, your company, and that sort of thing. So as of now, I don't believe that has substantially changed things. It certainly is something we've got to keep an eye on. But again, you are not formally cooperating in abortion by using the health care for your family.
And if you want more information on formal and material cooperation with evil, you can get that at Catholic.com. You just put in those words, formal and material, and you'll get lots of articles there. The number is 888-318-7884. Lots more questions to come, but we got to take a very quick break. We'll do that now and be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Well, Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jim Blackburn will be with us next hour, and we'll continue with Open Forum. This hour, we have Tim Staples here with us, the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and Nuts and Bolts, A Practical How-To Guide to Evangelism.
Whoa!
I nailed it!
He got it!
Got them both. Before I go back to the calls, I want to ask you this. Are you thankful for Catholic Answers? We want to share your story on our Giving Tuesday story at Instagram, and here's how. If you want to record yourself in a story-length video, less than 15 seconds, saying what you get from Catholic Answers, what you love about Catholic Answers, however you want to do it, send us your video via DM. That's direct message, as was explained to me before the program. Send it on or before Giving Tuesday, November 29th, and then watch your testimony and others when we share it in our story in 1 week for Giving Tuesday. Share your story via direct message with us on Instagram. Let's see. Where are we going on the phones? We're going to Philip in Lakeland, Florida. This is a I don't know why we get state days. Like yesterday was Texas Day. Today's Florida Day. A whole bunch of calls coming from Florida. Philip in Lakeland, Florida, watching on YouTube. We're glad you're here, Philip. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hey, gentlemen. I hope you're having a good evening. Speaking of Behold Your Mother, it's actually sitting right beside me. I've started to read it a little bit, I think.
All right.
I've definitely been away from the faith for a while, but I feel that the Mary could be calling me to the Catholic Church.
That's beautiful. God. Beautiful, brother.
I guess my question is...
Yes.
In regards to universal reconciliation...
Yes.
I was having a conversation with my friends today, and I actually didn't know how to really answer this with, you know, how the Catholic Church views this. So anything on that would be helpful.
Right, certainly. We have to make a fine distinction. The Catholic Church has condemned from the 3rd century forward. In fact, it was called Originism. And Origen had a number of heterodox views. That was one of them. Great teacher, great man, a good son of the church, died, we believe, in union with the church, but not a saint, most likely because of his what would come to be known as heterodox views. And he did believe in a final sort of reconciliation that all souls would be saved. Now, that is condemned by the church. However, we have today in the church a somewhat popular teaching, you know, kind of made famous by Hans Urs von Balthasar in a paper he wrote, became a book.
That all might be
Dare.
Oh, Dare We Hope, yeah.
Yeah, Dare We Hope That All May Be Saved. Now, that is not what was condemned by the church. And so we have to be careful here. What was condemned by the church was the idea that all souls will be saved. That you cannot hold as a Catholic. But what von Balthasar posited, and some like Bishop Barron today hold to, is that it's possible. Notice the difference? They're not saying it's going to happen, just that it's possible it could happen. Now, that has never been condemned formally as a formal proposition, the way Originism was condemned and was repeatedly condemned. Now, is it heterodox? Yes, it is. It's contrary to the ordinary teaching of the church. And so, with all due respect to those who hold it, if you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, section 1034, let me read it to you. Jesus often speaks of Gehenna, of the unquenchable fire reserved for those who, to the end of their lives, refuse to believe and be converted, where both soul and body can be lost. Jesus, and here's the kicker, Jesus solemnly proclaims that he will, quote, send his angels, and they will gather all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire, and he will pronounce the condemnation. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. And of course, that's a reference to Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, where Jesus solemnly proclaims that some are going to hell. Okay, and so the idea that it's possible that no one could be in hell contradicts this clear teaching of Jesus Christ, as well as the ordinary teaching of the church. But a lot of people are surprised, Cy, to know that the church has never formally declared that in a definitive way, that we can't say it's possible. Again, it's contrary to the ordinary teaching of the church. We should not be teaching that, folks. And it doesn't matter who you are. You shouldn't be teaching it because it contradicts both sacred scripture and, of course, the catechism, as I mentioned there in section 1034. But at any rate, does that help at all? Because I just wanted to make the distinction, because a lot of people don't, between Origenism that was formally condemned and this teaching of the possibility that all might be saved, which, though heterodox, should not be taught, is not something that's been formally condemned as such. Does that help at all, brother?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hit the nail on the head.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for your call. Thanks for all you folks that call, because your calls, we talked about this, during the radio drive. Thanks so much for all those who donate. But all of you who call in, it takes a little bit of guts, to call in and, get on the line and so forth and ask these questions. And remember, when you call in questions, it's not just for you. And I know you're calling in for you, but there are so many people out there that need to hear the answer to that question. So you're being a blessing when you call in and ask a question, not just to yourself and your family, but to lots of others as well.
Thanks, Philip. Let's go to Marion in Wyoming, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Marion, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I was listening to the part of the question on viability earlier, and I would like to propose a different way of looking at that.
Okay.
And maybe even speaking of that. In relation to the abortion debate, the word viability appears to be used exclusively as meaning able to live and develop outside the womb. Well, I argue that unborn babies are 100% viable where they are.
Amen.
Because the womb is the place where they live.
It's their natural home.
Absolutely. I am 100% in agreement. But remember, when we're engaged in conversation in the world, it's great to make that point. And that's why we don't agree with the argument that says viability is when you can't kill a baby any longer. We don't agree with that at all, because you say a baby is viable from the instant of its conception. But the way the term is used is to mean that a baby can live outside of the womb. So that's how we were using it. And it's okay to use it that way. But I think you're a good reminder to us, Marion, that we always have to interject into the conversation our absolute opposition to the killing of an innocent human being, regardless from the instant of conception. And so your point is very well taken.
Yeah, and it's kind of nasty to make the implication that the child is non-viable. Yes. When the child is not doing anything except growing.
I mean, that's right.
The kid is viable.
It is. It's so sad. We have a culture that's constantly changing words. Listen, I don't like to use the word gay. It was a beautiful word, and we all knew what it meant. It meant to be happy.
In the gay 90s.
Yes. And I think of one of my favorite Christmas movies, The Bishop's Wife, when Loretta Young is brushing her hair and David Niven, who is the bishop, Bishop Brougham, says, he was watching her brush. You do it so gaily. And she said, well, I feel gay, I mean, it meant a totally different thing back then than today. And I hate the change of language, but hey, you know what? We got to live in the world, though we're not of it.
Marion, thanks very much for that important reminder. We got lots more folks on the line. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't called...
No, it's not over.
Yeah, your part is over.
No.
Jim Blackburn's going to be here now. There's three lines open, so if you'd like to call, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. Don't forget, there's the big sale going on right now at shop.catholic.com. Everything's on sale. 10, 20, 25, even up to 50% off on a few items. Check it out now at shop.catholic.com. You don't need a promo code. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.